Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, it's Monday night, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's edition of Raising Expectations. It's your show, and it's all about what God can do in your life. And this is my wife, Melba. We've been married 1 month tomorrow on the 11th, and we both want to welcome you together to be with us on the show. We, as well as our wonderful family and our guests, as you know, are believers that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And we believe God is who he says he is and does what he says he'll do. And he proved it for me and you through Jesus Christ when he gave his life on the cross to pay for each one of our sins. And what does that mean? Why is that relevant? Look at the world we live in today, Joe. Well, it's relevant for this. One, we know that he walks with us every day in this world. And when we can't figure it out, sit back, take a breath, say a prayer, and he'll tell you what's going on. And it also means that someday we know where we're going when we die. And that day's coming for everybody. We're born to die. When that day comes, we know where we're going. We'll go to be with those we love because the Lord paid the way and assured that to us, each and every one of us, and who put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So welcome tonight to this version of Raising Expectations. We've got a great show planned for you, and we're looking forward to, again, hearing from you. Thanks for the texts and the messages and the testimonies of what God's doing in your life. Tonight, we have very special guests with us. We're going to go through our team real quickly so that we can get to our guests and get going right off tonight. Again, Melba and I are sitting here in our home, and we want to go all the way to the West Coast, and you all know Dr. Paul Hall lives there, and he is there in Lompoc, California, just north of Santa Barbara, and this is the pastor who just married us. We've been friends a long time. Good to see you, Paul.
Good to see you, too. Thanks.
And we're going to fly back to the east side of the west, east side of the United States, to the south side, on the south side of the east, which is, how am I doing, Ron? Which is really in North Georgia. Friends, you know, we've been doing this for about 5 years now on this one. But anyway, right there you'll find in Dalton, Georgia, two of the most wonderful people, as you know, that you'll ever meet. And that is Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer. Steph is there on the right. What a wonderful mother, wife, counselor to women, and health. Everything this lady knows, she gives back to the Lord, and she uses it every week in blessing countless people. And she's done such a great job blessing this man to her left, and that's Dr. Craig. Craig Thayer, we call him Tank, and he done a great job. Even when it comes to glasses and other things, folks, she knows how to help him when there's a need in his life. So you're going to see. There we go. Hey, over here, Craig. No. Anyway, Craig is a surgeon. He is a trauma surgeon. He's the one they call when they wonder what to do. And so many times he shared with us, he prays over his hands, says, Lord, use my hands and however you can to help me to be what I need to be at this moment. He also has a great book out you're going to want to read. And for time's sake, we'll just tell you about this. If you go to our website, bbsradio.com/ Raising Expectations. That's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You'll find our site there, and you can just slide down and read about the folks. You read kind of the story of what we're here for and other things. And you can find all of our programs. We'll tell you more about that maybe later. The programs are all listed there. You'll be able to find our guests, and they're part of our family here, and you'll find them listed right there. My book, there's this book, Saved. You'll want to find a copy of that. Finding God in the Ordinary. One trauma surgeon's true account of the way God blessed in his life. You want to get a copy of that book? It's on our website. I have a book on there also, Save. Speaks about just above Save. Speaks about God's grace in your faith and what it means in moving things in your life and the way He wants to move them. So if you go from there, we leave together from Dalton, Georgia, and head back to, and that's the East Coast. You guys got coffee tonight back there? I'm still wondering when you're going to break out the coffee on the East Coast. Okay. Good deal. All right. Well, they've got their tea and they're ready to go. So if we jump back in the plane, like we always say, head across Alabama, Louisiana, across northern Louisiana, excuse me, Alabama, Mississippi, across Louisiana, you'll be going circles otherwise, and you make that long approach down to the thriving metropolis of McKinney, Texas. Just north of Dallas. And yes, you got a yay on that one. Okay. And that's where you'll find one of our favorite pastors in Texas, counselor, pastor, brother in Christ, and that is Ron Greer in McKinney, Texas. And you'll find him there
Greer and
right
McKinney, yes.
in McKinney. That's right. So we're good. Great. And I didn't get any cards and letters this week, guys. So we worked out really good. No text of a small town of Greer of less than 100 people. But anyway, it's good to see you, Ron. Ron is loves the Lord, and God uses him in so many special ways. We're just going to cut the time back a little bit tonight, but what a blessing he is. So we are really anxious to get on tonight with our special guests. They're part of our family. They're special guests, but they're special family. We're going to change that intro on that. And that is Dr. Pamela and Scott Pyle, her husband. They're coming to us from South Carolina, but they are all over the world and serving the Lord in so many different varied ways. Well, whether it's building churches, building service centers, helping people in Rwanda. They've got so many things they've shared with us. Also helping in Washington, in working with healthcare and many other things that Scott works with the administration helping. So they're just special people. And you'll want to check on Pamela. She has a great book out, as you know. Notice there, she empowers leaders to navigate healthcare with wisdom and confidence. If you have any questions, you can check with her. She can go to her website. You'll find it there. You can check her up on LinkedIn also and find something she writes each week. It's always special what she writes about because it comes from the heart and it comes from she and her husband Scott and the things that they watch God do together in their life. And that's really, really special. Well, as you know, really quickly, last week, the last couple of weeks, we had Terry Warner with us, who authored Trainwreck to Triumph. That was a great, great title on that book, Trainwreck to Triumph. And she talked about forgiveness. We got into some great discussion on our part and what we do when it comes to forgiveness. And then we started to look ahead a little bit towards the vacation time, and we began to think in looking at forgiveness, you know, there's a lot of things going on. I've received a lot of letters, and I know some in my family, my immediate family also. And I know some of you have mentioned this online to us. What do you do when you start to prepare, as Terry was talking about last week, getting ready for the holiday season, getting with family that maybe you don't see very often? And how do you do that? What do you do, friends, if your family are on different sides of the political spectrum in the nation today, and maybe they do not agree with you or with each other in what they're seeing right now? Maybe they have a Trump syndrome there, and they don't know what's exactly happening. What do you do in a case like that? When you love your family, how do you ask God for direction to love them back? What is your position in loving them? And how do you deal with that with your family? How do you wrestle with, as they shared earlier with me today, wrestle with the question, what would it look like to put our marriage first and learn how to develop a rhythm of prayer as a couple that would deal with something like this in many other ways, but particularly at this season of the holiday, because God wants to shine his light through us each and every day, especially at times like this. So we want to welcome again to you, Dr. Pamela and her husband, of course, Scott Pyle. Wonderful Christian people. You're going to love these people once again. So many responses back. They're so glad they're part of our rotating team. So let's give them a round of applause, and we welcome you to Raising Expectations. Scott and Pam, welcome. Go, yeah.
Do the same whichever way it is.
Actually, yeah. It counts either way, Scott. So we're good. Yeah. Share with us, if you would. We'd be so glad you're here.
Well, you want to start? Or yeah, I'll start. You start. We'll start.
I want to be off.
Ladies first.
I'm playing. I'm totally messing
up. I just
want to start with Pastor Joe. He asked us, he sent a text about, can you share tonight about the things about your family and your gatherings around the holiday, past and present, that have been wonderful and that you would like to share with the audience?
I look over at her and she's on the computer bawling like a baby, crying. And I'm like, oh no, what's going on? And she couldn't even read the question. She handed it to me to read. And our family's been through some trauma lately with some of our, actually two of our daughters. And it was triggered by the assassination of Charlie Kirk and our family's proximity to Charlie and Erica in the ministry. And it's really sad that after all that we've been through as a country, that we just can't get over politics and government within the family, within the household. Mm-hmm. And our response to our children, two of our daughters, was, and our proximity to this administration. But if President Biden would have called us and said, hey, would you help us with faith-based initiatives? And would you help us with Christ-centered organizations receiving grant dollars in the United States of America and around the world? We'd have jumped at the opportunity. If he would have called and said, we want to build a faith office and a faith structure, we would have jumped. I mean, the White House and our government is the most influential powerhouse on the planet. And regardless of who our president is, we want them to win. We want them to do well. And while I may not have voted for them, I cheer for them until the next election. And then I go vote for the person I think is most aligned with my biblical worldview. But I don't wish ill on it. And I'm so saddened by the division and our one of our daughters literally just cutting us off from all communication. And thinking that Charlie's assassination in our life was political when it was personal. And it just became very difficult to the point. And we love our children and we don't care who they vote for. And we don't care what's going on that we disagree with. We want to talk about what unites us. And you guys ever feel like that, that we focus so much on what divides us versus what we have in common? Do y'all feel that way lately? Any of you? Or is it just us? Like, we have so much in common.
I think more and more it has gone that direction. And I actually have a different, when Joe said what we were going to talk about, I thought, oh boy. And he said, are you going to say nothing? And I said, no, I'm not going to say nothing. But, you know, I have a family member that has determined that because I'm a conservative person, I represent all these things they've come up with. And it has become very, very contentious at family events, that like the person just comes and targets me. And essentially everything that my life represents, they despise. So I'm married. We have traditional roles. I spent a lot of time at home. I homeschooled the kid. Like, I made those choices. I'm well educated. I work today. You know, we built a life that this person does not understand. And they told me 2 years ago, I think No, because it was really bad during the first Trump election. And then this was prior to that, that I ruined my children. And that was enough. I just said, I'm so sorry. You are not welcome in our home if you're going to cause these fights all the time. And it's very hard because I love someone, but they have predetermined things about me that are not true. They haven't even asked. They've projected certain things. And they verbatim say things from news outlets. Like, you can just hear phrases. So if you ask a follow-up question, there's no thought or answer to it. And so I have tried so much, but when it starts, you know, bad mouthing in front of my family, I have said, this is not healthy for me. I actually pray for that family member regularly. Sure. They know the Lord. I would love them to know the Lord. And even if they're a believer, we might still have very different political beliefs, and I'm okay with that. But instead of the focus being enjoying the silly family traditions and the fun games you play and all these things, right, that we all talk with, the focus is how different we are. And the reality is we are much more alike than different. Even someone that's probably the opposite view of me, but society feeds off of us being divided. And it's really a shame. It's like a dance. You can only do so much. And if that person doesn't want to dance, you also have to be protective of yourself and your kids. And so it's really unfortunate. I think everyone is impacted at this point intimately with similar stories.
Yes.
Have you known, we've been wrestling with God over this, you know, since the assassination and the martyrdom of Charlie, and then the incredible movement of God. And so the enemy's not happy, but I've been wrestling with, why is it that government and politics, which kind of makes you just throw up in your mouth when you say it nowadays, doesn't it? It's so vile. And I wrestled with, why has it become, has infiltrated every aspect of our life? And as believers, our identity comes from our Father.
Yeah.
Our affirmation comes from our Father.
That's right.
Who, we're not a mistake. We're not in the wrong body. We're not the end of an evolutionary slime to some randomization of this incredible. And it seems that the broken and the lost, because it's written on their heart, truth we know is written in us, and they need to be affirmed. They need identity. They need not only to be approved, but then to have society say what you're doing is right. And so the government's become their God. It's become the authority. It's become the place that they find their identity, their approval, and their power from. And so it's truly an idol. And we need to take down that high place, if you will.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, I think that I think one of the things that we miss out on is it's not that government is and politics is government is and politics are so bad in and of themselves. It's what people have made them out to be.
Yes,
I think there are times we forget that God Himself instituted government.
Right.
And on. So there's something that's okay. Government itself is good. And then what you look at, okay, so who does he instruct us to, in essence, who put over people? And the problem the church has ran into and created, and out my words, created, is this idea of Christians not engaging in maintaining God's kingdom principles within the government and leadership. And when you create that vacuum, then evil runs in. So what we have now is a bunch of pagans supposedly trying to operate what was biblically set up and biblical principles, ran and conducting a country and leading country based on God's principle, who don't know God, who don't believe in God, who has no... So it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. The other part of that is...
Yes.
And the other part is it's not by accident. This has been a long... planned out strategy for years. Let me read you something. It says, created doubt, lack of confidence, suspicion, then setting up situations that bring about racial bitterness, violence, and conflict, putting forth demands so unrealistic that race relations are worsened, not better. Mm-hmm. And you're attacking everybody in disagreement with you as reactionaries, as fascists, as Ku Klux Klanners, who are Uncle Toms, among all the Negro population. And anybody who does so constitutes an opposition, mm-hmm. right? Now, you know where that's from? As a guy by the name of Manny Johnson, he wrote a book in 1954. It was published in 1957. It's called Color, Communism, and Common Sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Manny Johnson was a communist strategist who came, had awakening, come to Jesus moment, left the communist movement, and became going around the country trying to alert people to what the communists were doing. Now, that particular passage in the book is about his job among Black churches and Black people, how the communists had started this whole thing. And one of their strategies is to get people in office who learn and who doctrinate and train them to go about these kind of tactics, right? So the deal is you create all kinds of division among people, multiculturalism, and you create separate groups. And then you find things within the group that are conflicts with other groups, and you hyperventilate on those things, and you get them to hyper on them, right? So what you have is a bunch of people who find differences, and they fan those differences. Mm-hmm. And even to a point where you have first racial groups, and then in the, say, from the 1960s on, that went over into the political groups.
Yeah.
So the whole idea between the two parties and the people who invaded them is to create this discourse and bitterness and conflict between people constantly. And as long as you do that, they need you to act as the advocates. They need you to control things.
And
it's a strategy that's been going around. The communists have been doing it since in the 40s, 30s and 40s. Even. Mm. Oh, sorry.
Well said.
A couple things. One, to tack onto that, a group of women in the late 60s, actually 12 women, came together and built out the strategy of the feminist movement, and with the end goal of removing the man as the father of the household, remove the father from the nuclear family, to diminish the male role in what we know as the biblical worldview, and have been extremely successful at a very structured plan. But the other thing is, all of that comes with labels, even the label Democrat or Republican. So many of Democrats will say, well, you can't be Christian and be Republican, or vice versa. And you know, it's just, once we put labels on individuals, we're removing the label of child of God. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I come from Rwanda, and how, you know, tribes that live together in harmony, while they had different titles, it wasn't until the colonization came to Rwanda, and they measured their noses, how tall they were, what was their background,
even how many cattle they had.
Yeah, and defined them by, and they had to carry a card. Mm-hmm. And that card, you know, that was given to them in the 30s, ultimately resulted in a genocide, and it was truly a function of the label.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where all tribal politics ends. I mean, if we continue to tribe up and divide, and so we're seeing it in our own homes, among our own children, and it's very painful.
Yeah. Well, we've dealt with the same thing with family, with friends, with young men and women that we disciple, and men I disciple. It got to a point where things got so much to a point where they all completely walked away, have nothing to do with us anymore. My best friend and the guy who discipled me, even with him, got to a point toward the end of his life, we barely talked. And fortunate, by the grace of God, we kind of got together and reconciled few years, and he died maybe 3 months later, 2 months later. But it's something that that I think everybody's experiencing now, because it's, I think we're at that point. And I'll go back again saying that it's not by accident. It's part of a strategy.
That's
and
right.
It has been since you mentioned the feminist movement, right? Mm-hmm. Would you be surprised and shocked to know that that whole feminist movement didn't start in the 1960s? The communists in Russia started in 1917. It came to the United States in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just stayed kind of dormant in certain areas, New York and certain urban areas. And it wasn't until probably the early 1960s that it blew up with the rest of the radical movement. So and you're right. The very Margaret Sanger is a part of that movement.
Yeah.
And again, anti-family. You don't want to have the whole patriarchal system. You don't have to be tied to children. Be independent. So yes, anything that was contrary to what God has designed, that's where they. Right.
That's it, Ron. Amen.
Oh, I was Blonda Muhdari back in the day.
It amazes me how so often they think this, oh, we got this new stuff, right? Yeah. We've figured all this out. We know what's wrong, and we figured it all out. There's nothing new under God's sun. In
Amen.
Fact, there's nothing because he made the sun. He knows exactly what's going on, and all this bickering, pulling apart. We can go through the historical side of this, and it's amazing what has happened. But, you know, that comes back to what you said earlier, where God's on the throne.
Yes.
There's nothing happens he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves us the same way. The response is not God's. The response is mine, ours. Do we receive Christ as our Savior? And if so, have we been filled by the Holy Spirit coming into our life by receiving Christ as Savior? It's so simple, it's difficult. I remember back in the 70s, Paul, you remember, Ron, you guys remember the battle for the Bible with Earl Robinson and a lot of other guys come out, and everything's going to change. And Time magazine in the 60s, God is dead. Oh, wow. And everybody got so shook. God wasn't dead. He's looking at it saying, oh, you put the funnies on the front instead of the middle of the book this time, you know. But as we think about this, there's no change. But what we need to do is get back to that love. I have kids. I mean, I have a son who's a college professor, and we had quite an incident two summers ago, and I went up to visit him up in Oregon and Washington. He teaches up there, and we got on the Republican Democratic bandwagon back and forth and something, and they literally cannot stand our president, whom I admire immensely. But it got so bad, finally, he was driving. He forgot who he was. He started really coming at me. And all of a sudden, we stopped and looked at each other. And at the same time, we said to each other, much like Scott just said, I love you, son. I love you, Pop. But he got it out quicker. He says, we're not even going to go there. Sorry, Pop. I know where you are already. I just wanted to hear you say it. And I said, well, I did. But the most important thing is, I love you. And he said the same thing. We don't agree on any of this, but you know what? Our love for each other has never been stronger because it is anchored. He battles. I have grandson battling with the people coming after him. Well, what do you know if they're saved and you're lost? You know, and saved, and be spewed out of the mouth. They get all these little bits and pieces, like Ron saying, because they don't get in the church and really study the Word of God. And the Bible is pretty clear on that point too. If you have, if you get saved and 10 years later you think you lost it, you didn't have eternal life. You had 10-year life, and you got the wrong package. That's not what the Bible says. So you don't have 10 years, you got eternal. But they come after us in so many different ways. And boy, I appreciate what you're saying, Scott, Pam. How do you feel about some of that?
I just want to say, kind of. In our relational, you know, intimacy. One of our favorite pastors is Timothy Keller, now gone. We just love his teachings. And so I came across two of his teachings late in life that were really just a conversation about forgiveness that were held, you know, like two 30-minute conversations. And because there were a lot of things, mainly amongst the kids, the way they were talking to each other.
Oh, they got very heated at each other.
Yeah.
More heated, yeah.
Than really at us. But I talk about, you know, we are called to forgive. And then I also, you know, sent them the two Tim Keller videos. But one of the things he said, and it really, like, for us, it like, because is very true, is the ability to forgive is based on our relationship with Christ. Amen. And our inability to forgive is often due to a lack of relationship with Christ.
Yes.
And while we feel our daughters are saved, there's not that close relationship like our.
And that's what we're praying for is salvation. And for God to do and to be gentle, but to do for them, right? Ron, you really, I saw Ron like, yeah, be gentle, but save them. Save them. And that's the promise that we really are. The promise of their salvation and our trust in him is so strong, because if he can save us, he can definitely save our kids. Right. I mean, come on. But the pain of our granddaughter being pulled away from us as punishment, the intentional division, the anger, and just
your prayers, folks.
Yep.
And we'll pray for you too.
But the other thing I really want us to, I pray that as a people, we can help have conversations of, Ron was saying it, this, the enemy is in the camp.
Yes.
The enemy is in the gate. The enemy is inside base camp. And if America goes down, I mean, Victor Marx was saying this, you know, Victor's running for governor of Colorado. He's a dear friend of ours. And Victor was saying to a group of men one day, if America goes down, there's no one coming.
Right.
We're it. I mean, and so we need to help have dialogue around the party that says they want diversity, inclusion, whatever is the most tolerant, is becoming the most intolerant. They won't have a conversation. And let's face it, they shot the let's just talk about it brother in Christ.
That's right.
Let's just talk about it. And so we, our prayer, number one, is for our salvation of our children. Selfishly, we just want relationship with them. But we have to say what's true.
Yes.
So when asked, do you agree with everything Charlie said? Well, no, we agree with Charlie's stance on the scriptures. Yes. We agree with the Bible. We agree as the inerrant and how do you say that? Is that right?
Inerrant
word of God. And yeah, she's a smart one. Y'all know that.
I think you both are.
Well, you know, I think, I mean, I agree with you. It's, I think the answer to our dilemma, and I'll go back to with Charlie Kirk, right?
Yeah.
Even as a 19 and 20 year old, if you ever sort of heard him, you go, this kid is actually he was a genius. He figured it out, right? He figured out how we got to where we were. And that is through the kids and through the young adults, right? If you find a way to speak to them, to talk to them and start and get them to think, you'll eventually start expanding this group of people who think as opposed to feeling. And that will turn the country around.
Amen.
No one believed him, but he carried on because he actually did have the right answer.
Yeah.
And the thing that boggles my brain, you have a lot of pastors who didn't want to have anything to do with Charlie Kirk. He's too political. He's too controversial. And you're going, Pastor, listen, he's doing what you are to be doing, training your congregation to do. Going into the public square, go into the streets, and you speak in love, the truth, constantly and boldly in love to other folk. If you speak to them, The word, the Spirit of God Himself moves and changes.
That's right.
But I don't think we believe that. The other thing is that even in, I can't tell you the number of pastors who are adamant about them not being involved in politics. Hmm. I'm going, okay, pastor, let's do this then. Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody knows that, right? If go back to Jeremiah 27:6. Okay. He says that you're to, not six, is it, let me get this right though. I think it's 6 or 5, right?
It's okay. You're close enough for me.
So it says that we are to seek the welfare of the city which I have exiled you to. And you go, wait a minute. What's the background? They have been exiled into the Babylon. They're servants and slaves. Horrible life they have. Millions have died. And God says, seek the welfare of the enemy you live in among. Mm-hmm. And then he says, you're to pray for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm asking the pastors, like, when do you seek the welfare of the city, of the country? How do you do that? And are you praying for them? Good. Now send people out to seek the welfare. Go out and speak the truth, God's truth, wherever you have an opportunity, wherever it comes about, with love, but boldly, never compromising.
That's right.
Amen.
And let God deal with the outcome. I'm sorry, one last thing. I'm adamant here. I mean, I'm kind of animated because we struggle with the same thing with our kids. Fortunately, he lives in a different city. They're not talking to us much right now for that very reason, just unforgiveness. Just cannot fathom some of the things that we have sided with and what we've said and what we believe. Unfortunately, one of them even joined in a group text thread of celebrating
Charlie. Anyway,
celebrating the death in the shooting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he was such a racist, such a white supremacist. Mm-hmm. We can't have conversations. But even between, but we have a son here who is a conservative and have him. And there's this constant slight.
Boy, they go at it, don't they?
Oh, screaming, yeah. Yelling. They cut each other off for weeks at a time. It is purely satanic. It really is. So anyway, that's. I didn't mean to get so excited, but. That's
no, why. It's so personal. It's so personal. And yes. To one of, you know, so when we're projected upon by our children, absent the evidence of our life.
Yeah.
It's like you know, I mean, it doesn't even calculate that one of our children literally was uncomfortable introducing us to her boyfriend that they were living together with because he was black. No, the problem's not his skin color. It's you're living together outside. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You're on the wrong conversation.
Yes.
Yes.
And one of my children's going, you think it's, they've been in Rwanda for, what? And so you really do get to this point where the deception, the great deception.
Yes.
That's going on.
Yes.
And the need for us to get out of our echo chambers,
yes,
and ask our children who we know have the Spirit of God living in them,
yes,
to back up,
yes,
give grace,
yes,
and stop that, Ron. I feel you. It was like, oh, wow.
If they were in close sex proximity, I literally think it would be a physical fight.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have no doubt.
The greatest clip I've seen in you guys is, well, there was a clip that Charlie was saying, we're going to be at a gathering this next week. And I'll literally be speaking from the same stage Charlie was the Saturday before the election a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really been wrestling with some of my presentation. But Charlie, there's a one snippet, if you can find it. It's like he says, if anyone tells you because of the color of your skin or your sexual preference or where you're born, that you are less than, and the Creator does not love you and created you perfect, then run from them.
Yeah.
Run from them.
Yes.
And it's like, but it's clear our children are getting their information from snippets and clips of what's not true.
Exactly. Bits and pieces.
Yeah. Absolutely. I have two daughters, and they're in their 40s now. And when I moved from Indiana back to Texas, my daughter, my younger one, drove my car back to Texas. And she started coming at me with, and I didn't know who Charlie was, and because I didn't have kids at my house during his tenure, but evidently they didn't hear him either. But she started coming at me like, well, why do you use the Baptist Bible? And why do you go to church and this and that? And I said, I've raised you in the church.
Yes.
Where did all that training lead? Yes. When did that leave? And now, and I didn't understand what woke was. I had to look it up because I didn't
I know, that's like when you're not sleeping, right? Like, you're not sleeping, I'm woke. Right?
You didn't know what's coming up next, you know? So when I understood what it was, I thought, oh my two daughters are in that influence circle. And when my daughter's husband, the younger one, is married, when he got his job about 6 or 7 years ago, I pray for them every day. Matt Batterson had come out with a book on praying circles.
Yeah. Love that book.
You know, it's so interesting. I wish I'd had that when I was raising them. And so anyway, what did I go to? Where was I? Oh, it's our age. Her husband had gotten a job, and his first question was, so he'd been looking for a while, did your mom pray for us today? And she goes, I don't know. I can call her and ask. I said, okay. Call. So I got a call. She says, did you pray for Brandon this morning? I said, I pray for you guys every day. I said, what happened? He got a job. I said, well, that's great. God works in miracle ways. No. And then I told her, I want you to do this tonight. I want you and Brandon to pray together and thank God for the job that he's given him, because we give credit to the one that provides for us. I said, oh, you need to do that. Now, if they did it or not, I don't know. But when I lived in Indiana, they didn't go to church. We became those Easter Christmas families,
CEOs.
Christmas, Easter, and other important holidays, right?
Fourth of July and Memorial Day. Now their best friends are going to the church I was in Indiana. So I'm hoping that influence kind of comforts them in a very special way, that they understand that their relationship to God still exists, regardless of what everyone else is saying.
Yeah, we pray that God brings people into the lives of our, because, you know, even the ones that agree with us think we're idiots when we say anything, you know, but another person can say it. And they're like, oh, my goodness, that's genius. I've been saying that for 20 years. So, Paul, right? So, Paul, you've been quiet. So,
he's always the wisdom.
Well, I was curious because Jesus talks about, I didn't come to bring peace.
Yes.
I came.
Bring a sword. Yes.
And is this what we're living in now? A father against son, mother again. This, the truth separates, doesn't it?
Yes. Amen.
I think that's one of the biggest tools that Satan has, is an attempt to divide us, you know, move us apart. And history is so full of lessons about what happens when we get divided. You know, it's just amazing. During World War II, there was an Army Air Corps officer named Curtis LeMay, who became a general in the Strategic Air Command. And our bombers were just getting picked off left and right. We were losing more. And there were 10 men crews in each one of these bombers. And they were just getting blown in ribbons. And LeMay says, well, let's do something different. Let's have the bombers fly in a box and take care of each other. And I think I think if we learn simple lessons like that, wasn't it Lincoln who said a house divided against itself cannot stand? I mean, there are just so many lessons there. This is a real topic to me. I have a member of my family. She and her son hadn't seen each other in 6 years until 2 weeks ago. And the thing that prompted that was that my cousin has leukemia, and it's very serious. And finally, somebody took a first step, and it was the son. And the tragedy of it is how many families go through these kinds of things, and the thing that pulls them together is a horrible tragedy or a sickness, and all that wasted time, when we could be loving each other and caring about one another. We may not agree. We're not all going to agree about anything or everything. But those things that divide us, they're terrible to stop to think about. I was looking in Isaiah 59, verse 14-15. It says, when justice calls, we turn it away, and righteousness knows to keep its distance, for truth stumbles in the public square, and honesty is not allowed to enter. There is no truth calling anymore, and anyone who tries to do the right thing finds that he's the next target. Mm-hmm. And I would just one other illustration. I don't want to take a lot of time. There was a man named John Wimber, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. That was his mantra. And he came to Christ, and he went to church for the first time, and he sat through the church service. And after the service was over, he went up to the pastor, and he said, that was pretty good, but when do we do the stuff? And the pastor said, well, what stuff are you talking about? He said, when do we get to see the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear? When do we get to see that? Yeah. And the pastor's answer was, well, we believe in all that stuff, but we don't do that stuff. Yeah. And I'm thinking, but look at us as a church, you know, to go and do. If we just started in the New Testament and found a command that Jesus gave us and went out and did that, you know, in just a very short time, we would either be hailed as heroes or we'd be crucified. I mean, it those are the options. And
Amen.
You know, the
Amen.
Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is called to speak the truth. And I am, and I'll finish with this. I am so glad that there is an absolute truth outside of myself.
Amen.
I do not believe that. If it feels good, it's got to be right. I don't believe that we all have our own truth. I've done countless funerals, and how many times I've heard, well, he was spiritual or she was spiritual. Right. They wouldn't call themselves Christians. I'm going, right. Well, what in the world do they worship? I mean, a right. rock? I mean, how does that even make sense? Spiritual, yes. but not. And so... Anyway, it's just you know, we've got to watch each other's back, and we have to encourage each other, and yes. and you know, not everybody wants to be the front tip of the spear, but thank God there are tips of the spear, and our job is to encourage them and press them on. And
as you say that, one of my friends has a saying when people talk about spiritual or whatever, that all paths lead to God. Yeah. And he goes, all paths lead to God. It's what happens next is the important part. And you're going to stand before God. No, all paths lead there. That's right. But it's the next part that you should be concerned about.
And I've gone to school. I've gone to school with a couple of guys who pastored a long time, and I've been just kind of blown away to the positions to which they've come. You know, to where they say, "Well, I've come." To, one pastor says, "I've come to believe that Jesus isn't the only way. There are other ways." And I'm going, "How does that work?" You know, in your head. You know, and then another friend that I went to seminary with, I read his postings on Facebook, and I'm just blown away by the positions that he takes. And I'm going, how does that square with the scripture? I mean, how does that work? And it doesn't. Yeah. It just doesn't.
Well, that's the thing we want to be, is we're going to make sure we're salt and light. and we speak that one truth. Because Paul, you said it, I can't imagine. I know there's a God and I'm not him. Right. And praise God, we have our Father, the Word that became flesh and that conquered death. And we're not going to buckle within our own family. I've seen so many parents change their theology and their biblical truth because of their children to be okay with their children.
Right. Well, I asked this question this weekend, you know, in our family. I said, why is it that when a Christian is engaged in conversation with a person who is in every fiber of their life resisting the call of the gospel, why is it that there's the expectation in the world around us that the one who needs to compromise is the Christian?
It's the Christian.
You know, it's always the Christian. You're supposed to love, you know. I can love without compromising. But I think that's a very real observation that people make, you know. Yeah.
Well, you know, that the first liar, that snake, said the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so I always say, how much do I truly love you if I'm not going to speak?
Right. Yes, absolutely.
I'm not truly loving you. I'm willing to risk the relationship.
Y'all know Michael Jr., the comedian?
Yeah.
Are we running out of time? Well, he says it best. He's like, compromising your marriage. Well, wait a minute. Compromise. Do you want your parachute compromised? Do you want your car compromised?
Right.
Why are we compromising? We need to speak truth and come together. Compromise is an interesting word, but Michael Jr. has they have an incredible marriage. Michael and Ebony, funny how marriage works, and we love them.
I'm going to hop in. We have to do it before it ends. So I'm going to make it short and sweet. You got to go to bbsradio.com/ raising expectations, and that's where you can listen, you can share, you can donate, you can connect with us, all kinds of great information there. So it's bbsradio.com/ raising expectations. And I just wanted to say, along the lines of what you guys were sharing, we have to remember that the enemy deceives. That's what he does. He takes a truth, you just mentioned the snake, and he just changes it just a little bit. And so we have to be diligent. We need to be in the Word. We need to be spending time in our prayer with the Holy Spirit, because everything around us is telling us, oh, don't worry about it. Don't do that. Just change it a little bit. And it's the enemy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I say one more thing with my guys that I'm working with?
You got 60 seconds, Ron. 60 seconds. Go, bro.
My absolute charge to them is that every single day before your feet hit the ground, remember, armor up, because you're walking to a battle. Ephesians. That's where we are. And I think everybody somewhere gets that message on one way or the other, and they don't want to take the arrows, they don't want to take the hits. I think that's where the church is. You have to we have to realize and understand we have to go forward, and we're going to take hits. It's not going to be easy, and the persecution is going to get worse. Charlie is just one example of what's going to be happening.
Yeah. Amen. But folks, remember, none of those hits, and it's so true what they said, none of them are going to hurt us as much as it hurt Christ to hang on a cross and have nails go through his hands and die.
Well said.
For us. That's the way it's going.
Well said, Pastor Joe.
You betcha. He's got us. And we're so glad that you're with us tonight. We're so glad you're part of our Raising Expectations family. And I know people look forward to it. We'll get back to you. We got to get you back in real soon, as much as you can. Know that you're in our prayers, and we'll constantly be thinking about you. We've got 1 minute. Love you guys, every single one of you. Steph, way to go. You're the best, gal. That was perfect. She got it. Yeah, that was great. She's already got it. Hey, Tank, how about giving us a word of prayer on the way out and asking God to bless the piles of
this life. Is what God spoke to me, and the way it sums up this whole conversation. Dear God, I feel the pain that Jesus faced on the cross, whipped to death, but still carried a cross and was hung on it. Yes. While on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Yes. Our children, our family, our friends do not know what they do. They have been counterfeited. deceived, made fearful, confused by the enemy. Let us be your light for you, Jesus, so that they can see our kindness, the fruits of our spirit, love, joy, patience, kindness, all those, so that they'll then begin to scratch their heads and say, what do they have? I want that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Perfect. Perfect.
God bless you all. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. You're part of our family. We love you. You're in our prayers. See you next week. Same time, same station. Your place to see what God's doing in a lot of lives. Love you guys. Bye-bye for now.
God bless you guys.
Love you all.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Pam and Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks, Pam.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.